tell us your story so that we too may be a people awakened by your mystery. Amen. Well, today is Mother's Day, a day when we celebrate love. Our mother's love for us, love within the family. Today is also Ascension Day, the last Sunday in our Easter celebrations. Ascension Day marks the day when Jesus physically left his disciples. After the resurrection, there had been several visits by Jesus to the disciples, and indeed, at various times, he visited hundreds. Now they stood upon this earth, those disciples. They stood on terra firma. And Jesus told them that he must leave. So here we are at one of those moments when the veil between heaven and earth, when the separation of the sacred and the secular are brought together. The disciples standing on earth, Jesus prepared to ascend to heaven, about to leave them. Can imagine the disciples thinking about the empty tomb, or the tomb, the cross and the tomb, where Jesus spent those 3 days. Now he is going to leave them again. But this time, Jesus will not leave them without comfort and without hope. Not unlike a parent sending their child off to college, or a young person going off to another city, another state, to begin a new job. Physical absence from one another, but present in a whole new way. Perhaps more objective. In the separation between us, perhaps we can understand better the relationship, understand it in a deeper way. See, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. You will be clothed with power from on high. The distance between heaven and earth, between God and man, this physical separation between Jesus and his followers would be replaced with his Spirit, his comfort, his guidance, his presence. We live in a world full of dichotomies, full of contrast, presence and absence, right and wrong, law and spirit, grace and works, sacred and secular. These dichotomies, these contrasts are bound together, and in them and between them and around them, and in us and between us and around us, we have the mystery of God's presence, the mystery of God's Spirit at work in the world. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." By contrast, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Paul recognizes a dichotomy in the church at Galatia: the works of the flesh, our natural desires, and the fruit of the Spirit. Our natural desires are self-preservation, protecting ourselves, seeking security and comfort. Self-centeredness, doing what we like for ourselves, satisfying our own interests. Paul names them desires. The desires of the flesh. A child has to be taught to share with others, to think of others' needs. Laws have to be established to help us get along with one another, rules and laws and accountability to one another to keep our base desires in check. We know how destructive human beings can be. As we look at our history, as we look at the history of war, at the Holocaust during World War II, at the crisis in Syria and Sudan today, at someone attacking a 5-year-old girl at a bus stop in St. Paul. Yet there is another way. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. John Wiborg is a retired professor of theology at North Park Seminary and has been one of the principal guiding voices in theology in the Covenant Church. And even beyond our own church denomination, others have sought his counsel and his insights. I was privileged to sit under John's teaching in his first year at North Park Seminary. John has written an article in the current Covenant Companion he titled, "Going Where Angels Fear to Tread." I think the title alludes to the fact that John's topic may push out our limits of how we see God at work. It may push out our limits of how we see the Spirit working in the world. In Isaiah 45, we hear the story of Cyrus, king of Persia. In 539 BC, Cyrus defeated the Babylonians who held the Jewish people in exile. Cyrus was welcomed as a man of peace and a man of religious tolerance. He signed an edict allowing the Jews to return to Jerusalem and restore their temple with his support. As the story unfolds in Isaiah 45, Cyrus is designated of all things as the Lord's anointed. Now, this term is reserved for the Messiah, the Lord's anointed and shepherd. A contrast, world history, a Persian king, and the Messiah, God's salvation. In Isaiah 45, God says, "I call you by name, I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know, from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other." So twice in Isaiah 45, God says that Cyrus does not know him, and yet he is God's anointed. Heaven and earth, sacred and secular, contrasts bound together by the mystery of God's presence, his Spirit. John Wiborg goes on to tell about twin sisters doing courageous work in peacekeeping in northern Kenya. Northern Kenya has a long and violent history of tribal conflict. A few years before these twin sisters, Monica and Jane, founded their Children's Peace Initiative, 40 police officers had been killed investigating a tribal dispute. Monica and Jane's idea was to bring children from different tribes together to create opportunities for friendship. For 5 days, children and teachers from the Turkana and Sumburo tribes were involved in activities designed for them to get to know each other and develop friendships. The Children's Peace Initiative then sponsored events where the children invited their parents to meet their new friends. Children directly involved in conflict resolution. Conflict resolution which had formerly been settled by the point of arms. And a child shall lead them. John Wiborg continues, should this story surprise us who read the Bible? Are these twin girls modern Cyruses? Heaven and earth, sacred and secular, contrast bound together by the mystery of God's presence, his Spirit. Cyrus did not know God, a secular king, a person of history, and yet he was God's anointed to free God's people, to return home and restore their temple. Are there other Cyruses at work? Peacemakers who take great personal risks to stop bloodshed, to start conversations that can lead to reconciliation. Twin sisters in Kenya, perhaps. Maybe we are too quick to see only the contrast, the dichotomies. Maybe God is more at work in the world than we can see or comprehend. Maybe we are too limited, even by our own religious context. Heaven and earth, sacred and secular, bound together by the mystery of God's presence, his Spirit. As we discussed this text in our Tuesday staff meeting, Jana reminded us of a statement by Brennan Manning, an author, a Catholic priest, a Christian speaker who, quite a few years ago, was a speaker at our own Covenant Midwinter Conference. Brennan said that for every act of love, no matter how large or small, God is there. For God is love. Her name is Trita Mooney. Together with her husband Chuck, a truck driver, they were raising their son Ray in a trailer park in Salem, Oregon. One night my phone rang, and it was after 10 o'clock. It was Trita calling her pastor for advice. Trita had baked a pie and was ready to bring it over to Beth and Darwin Doss. Darwin was a prominent architect, in Salem and the surrounding area. Beth was a teacher in the Salem School District. The Dosses did not live in a trailer park. They lived in a modern home on the side of a hill overlooking the beautiful Willamette Valley, a home designed by Darwin himself. Beth and Darwin had just lost their 13-year-old daughter, Kelly, to cancer. And here was Trita, from the wrong side of the tracks, ready to bring her fresh baked pie to the Dosses after 10 o'clock at night. No, Trita, I don't think it's a good idea. I think you should wait till morning, I said. But I had an idea that Trita wasn't really asking for permission, but simply letting me know what she was about to do. So the next day I called Beth, thinking that I might have to smooth over some troubled waters, maybe do a little damage control. Beth and Darwin, in the midst of their grief, being interrupted late at night by the exuberant, gift-bearing Trita. And if I was chastised, I could remind Beth that I told Trita I didn't think it was a very good idea. But instead of damage control, Beth had been delighted by Trita's visit. Darwin had enjoyed a late-night snack, and it marked the beginning of a long and beautiful relationship between Beth and Trita. Contrasts, bound together by the mystery of God's presence, His Spirit. Maybe God is more at work in His world than we think. We know our natural desires, the desires of the flesh, as Paul says. We know that they are strong. But we also have within us a desire for something higher. We also sense God's Spirit in those who inspire us, those who do the works of a loving God, even if they do not recognize it as such. Even if we do not recognize it. Those who work toward peace and reconciliation. Those who act against the grain with acts of kindness. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Amen.